today on Rocking the Suburbs.
I'm no better than neither you. We are the same, whatever we do. You love me, you hate me, you know me, and then you can't figure out the bag I'm in. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I want to welcome you to this edition of our podcast. There's been a lot of sad news this week in the world of music with the passing of a couple of legendary figures. And today, we're just going to take a very brief minute to pay tribute to Sly Stone, who passed away on Monday at the age of 82. In a statement issued by his family, quote, Sly was a monumental figure, a groundbreaking innovator, a true pioneer who refined the landscape of pop, funk, and rock music. His iconic songs have left an indelible mark on the world, and his influence remains undeniable. Completely agree with that, of course. Mainly today, we want to say thank you for all the great music that Sly left behind. Reach you now from Rolling Stone magazine, who obviously were right there during Sly's ascension. They wrote a very nice obituary. I'll read two paragraphs from that obituary now. Quote, born Sylvester Stewart in Texas in 1943, Stone started making music with his siblings as a child. The Stewart Four, Sylvester, his sisters Rose and Vieta, and his brother Freddie made their first single, On the Battlefield, in 1952. He moved to California with his family as a child and later became a familiar voice in the Bay Area's music scene. As a staff producer at Autumn Records, he put together hits like Bobby Freeman's Come On and Swim. He also produced Somebody to Love by Grace Slick's pre-Jefferson Airplane band, The Great Society. He was also a DJ on KSOL and KDIA and later noted that, quote, in radio, I found out about a lot of things I don't like. Like, I think there shouldn't be a black radio, just radio. Everybody be a part of everything. Stone's own band, Sly and the Family Stone, came together over the course of 1966 and 1967, and it really was a family of sorts. Sly and his siblings Rose and Freddie were joined by cousins Greg Errico and Jerry Martini, as well as bassist Larry Graham and trumpeter Cynthia Robinson. The Family Stone's breakthrough hit was 1968's Dance to the Music, in which their voices and instruments, high and low, each took a turn in the spotlight. A racially mixed band with male and female members playing soul-infused rock together was a rare sight at the time, a utopian vision of what pop music could be. End quote. So, Sly came from a background where his family made music. He sang in the church. He knew about the church. He did doo-wop music, and as a radio DJ, played all kinds of different music, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones. He was in tune so many different styles of music that were happening at the time, and he took all of those things and he completely integrated them and made a music that nobody had ever heard before. It was completely a new thing. And there's a quote here from Variety's obituary, and they quote Questlove. He's discussing a documentary about Sly that was released not long ago, and he said, quote, "One of the strongest quotes from the movie is that Sly created the alphabet that we are still using to express music. He was the first to take advantage of being a bedroom musician, multi-track recording, the wah-wah, the drum machine, and doing everything by himself. We praise Stevie Wonder and Prince for these things, but Sly was the prototype. He also single-handedly revived hip-hop with all the samples that came from him." Another section of the obituary reads, "Vibrant and full of lyrical and musical wit, Stone's prophetic sound later had a potent influence on such performers as George Clinton, whose Parliament Funkadelic Combine owed its outrageous style to Family Stone's example, and Prince, another singular, multifaceted talent who leapt across genre categories. With the rise of rap and hip-hop, Stone's music was widely sampled and adapted, with performers like De La Soul, Public Enemy, Ice Cube, and the Beastie Boys taking a page from his book. His influence extended far beyond expected boundaries. In his 1989 autobiography, trumpeter Miles Davis credited Stone with the inspiration for On the Corner, his 1972 mating of jazz and streetwise funk. Keyboardist Herbie Hancock tipped his hat to Stone with Sly, a track on his best-selling 1973 fusion set, Headhunters," end quote. We also know the other side of the story, that Sly's immense talent and vision was tainted so badly by his enormous drug intake that inevitably it withered and died. His solo albums didn't come to much, and for a large chunk of the later part of his life, he was unable to produce music or produce any that we have heard so far. He often claimed that he had hundreds and hundreds of songs written, but none of those have ever come out as far as I'm aware. And David Kapralik, Sly's manager at the apex of his career, told biographer Jeff Callis that as he watched the footage of Stone's fabled 1969 appearance at the Woodstock Festival, that, quote, "I knew this was Icarus, his wings made of wax, and the spotlight was the sun he flew too close to. He burned brightly, Sly, and faded away. But what he left behind is pretty much unmatched in many parts of music. There are few that can match the sheer originality and invention of Sly's music at its peak. And that's enough from me. I really want, and we put out a call earlier in the week for folks to call in and send in messages about Brian Wilson. And I'd love you to do that for Sly, too. All the listeners out there, I know there are some who know about Sly and want to talk about Sly. So we'd love to hear from you. If you could get in touch with us, attach a voice note, rock@suburbspod.com. Call our suburban party line, 612-440-1984. Leave a message there and just say something about Sly. We'd love to put together an episode with our listeners' voices. And I'd love to hear how Sly affected you, how he touched you, and what influence he had, and what you think of his music today, and how much you still play it, if you do, and what it means to you now, and what it will mean to you now that it's a closed chapter in the rock and roll history books. And I'm going to close with something. I never do this, but I'm going to do it now, just because I think it's very appropriate. Monday afternoon, the news broke that Sly had passed. Intern Sam, our producer, messaged Jim and I to say as much. And I had to go on do my radio show about 40 minutes after that. And I really didn't have much time to process or react. I turned to his music, and I played a lot of his music. I played a lot of songs. And I felt like the feelings were pretty raw, and I felt like, you know, I was just talking from the heart and playing music from the heart when that happened. I had no opportunity, as in this podcast, to create an outline and, you know, write it all down and pull quotes from other places. So I'd like to play a little section of some of the talking I was doing between songs on my radio show. Just kind of leave that as my little tribute to Sly. And as I mentioned, I really would love to hear from our listeners on the topic of Sly. He's an immense, immense figure in music history. And I'll just say briefly, by way of context, there's a running joke on my radio program about it being sponsored by 7-Eleven and different facets of 7-Eleven. But we came up with, again, off the cuff, just a little way to put Sly's contribution to music and how he put everything together in context. So here is that clip. And we want to say from the bottom of our hearts, rest in power, Sly Stone. It was the departing of Sly, but I think he imparted some spirit upon all of us who love music, who have it in our veins. That's one of the most amazing things I think about Sly Stone, is that he had a lot of influences. Like, I don't know, I can't sit here and, you know, think up what his influences were, like, directly. And that's one of the great things about Sly Stone. It's like, what were the influences of the Beastie Boys? Well, every record made up until the time the Beastie Boys came out, you know? And it's similar to Sly and the Family Stone. You know, it was like everything. He sang doo-wop, right? Racially integrated, gender integrated. They loved to go to 7-Eleven. They were always up there buying Slurpees. And they always got a different flavor. Like, all the people in Sly and the Family Stone got a different flavor Slurpee. That's how cool they were. They never agreed on what the best flavor Slurpee was, but agreed to respect everybody else's choice. And that's the lesson here, folks. Jason Goble just nailed it on the head. Took a little flavor of each Slurpee and put it in his cup. That's what he had. He didn't have one. He had the mix. You always see that one guy putting all the flavors together and hoping it comes out great. Well, Sly got it right. Sly created the alphabet that we are still using to express music.